Those who've ever stepped down deep in the water, it's fantastic, isn't it? Step down a little bit deeper. All right, that's a good song. I like that. Well, this morning we will be having our second part of the purpose of discipleship. Last Sunday was a ladies' mission Sunday, and we had a gap there between this message today with the first one. But this is on the purpose of discipleship. You know, we need to be doing a little bit of discipleshipping, you know, each day. I was around a group of men this week, and many of them know that I'm a pastor, and they said, "Pastor Mike, what was your sermon Sunday?" I said, "It was on Phoebe." And some of them said, "Who in the world's Phoebe?" I said, "I'm glad you asked." So I shared a little bit of my message with them, and I had one fellow say, "Well, you know what? My son and daughter-in-law are back in church, and they're on fire for the Lord now." And he said, "I need to get on board with them." I said, "You sure do." And he said, "That was interesting about the story of Phoebe." I said, "Well, I can tell you more." But I said, "You need to be in church." He said, I know." He said, "I think I'm going to start going with them." So you never know, you know, when you meet people, strike up a conversation with them, you know, where they are and where they need to be. And everybody needs to be in church on Sunday morning. Amen. If all possible. Sometimes it's not, but that is the best thing. All right. Looking at the scripture this morning, it would be from Acts chapter 2, 42, 46, 47, and then Luke chapter 10, verse 5 through 7. And those would be our scriptures this morning. But just to give you a little bit introduction of this particular passage of scripture in line with the one a week ago where I shared where Paul preached in the temple along with Jesus himself. And today we'll be talking about the church taught in the homes, and they taught, well, the homes, you know, the apostles taught in the homes, and disciples also taught. So the church itself taught in the homes. And as we think about this, and I want to take us back a little bit to remind us, because sometimes we have a tendency to let this slip by us. But a huge part of Jesus's commission, and we can never, ever forget this, the Great Commission is a part of the church mission to make disciples. We are to make disciples. If we are Christians, believers in Jesus Christ, then we are to make disciples. And that's a part of our church responsibilities too. So the Great Commission defines discipleship at teaching Christ's commands. And if you want to look that up, it's in Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 19 and 20. And that's where Jesus talks about the Great Commission. "Go ye therefore in all the world, baptizing and teaching in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." That he was given the authority, and also that authority has been given to us to do as well. So this teaching was demonstrated in the New Testament church as they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So when we come together, we are continuing in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. The same gospel that the apostles and disciples taught as well. And the people needed to hear it, and when they heard it, their hearts was touched. And we know at Pentecost, and when we get into chapter 2 of Acts, that 3,000 was saved in one day, and they continued to add to the church daily. So this is a big part of discipleship. So this is a doctrine that the apostles based their teachings of Christ himself. of great teaching. So we know that we're supposed to be teaching people how to live according to Christ's commands. And that's what we are to do. We are to be living that out daily in our own lives as we allow Christ to live through our lives. That's very, very important. So we know that we're supposed to be teaching people how to live according to what God teaches us, both the seasoned Christians and new believers alike. And, you know, that's a great responsibility that the Lord has given us to discipleship new believers. So in part two, this message this morning, we'll address the following two questions. Where are we supposed to be doing this? So where are we supposed to be doing it? And how are we supposed to be discipling others? So those are two good questions, interesting questions. Questions that can be answered according to the Word, and I will tell you about that today. So we must be intentional in growing people in their Christian faith and with our walk with the Lord. And we are to continue to grow in our Christian faith and our walk with the Lord. In James chapter 1, where he talks about the Word being the seed, and when we hear it, it begins to grow and take root. And then when he gets into verse 25, he says, then all the things that we have heard and received from God's Word, then we are to apply that in our lives. And he uses that word that I just used now. We must be intentional about it. We have to make it our purpose to be disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's move on to the church taught in the homes, the church itself. The church then, the New Testament church, and the churches today. We are to teach God's Word. So we've already touched on Acts chapter 2, and I did that a couple Sundays ago. And we need to review a few verses just in order to learn about the important part for discipleship. In verse 42, it says that the believers continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You know what? Let's just go back and read those. Is that that's verse 42. Yes. Verse 42, now I'll skip down to 46 and 47. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. Now, those two things are very important for the church. Teaching, that means we're receiving what God intends for us to know about anything about the church, how the church functions, and how we are to be disciples, and how we are to provide discipleship in other people's lives. So that's very important. And they was teaching in fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And that prayer means boldness, boldness. Be willing to pray in boldness, believing and expecting God to answer our prayers. Okay, now let's look at verse 46. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple. There it is, the temple. That's the church. And breaking bread from house to house. Not only were they in the temple, but they was going house to house, sharing the gospel, breaking bread to house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. That means they were sincere in sharing what God was doing in their lives, the apostles, and taking it from the temple, the church where they worshiped, even into the houses. And then 47. Praising God and having favor with all people. That means every people was on board. They had everything in common. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So as we look at this verse, and verse 42 says that the believers continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. I mean, they were excited about it. And they, it said they continued steadfastly. That means it wasn't just once a week or day, once a month, but then they were meeting daily, and they were excited about it, which speaks of teaching according to verse 46, their activities among them being the breaking of bread. They came together and they broke bread and were from house to house. And this teaching was more likely done from house to house as well, as in 42, as it confirms this fact, saying, and daily in the temple and every house, they did not cease. That means it was ongoing. They didn't stop because God was moving in their lives. And we see a movement today. We're seeing a movement today. Just in the last few weeks, we're seeing a movement of people realizing, being affected by the power of God, being influenced through people's lives who have committed their lives to sharing the gospel and sharing the truth. What people need to hear in this nation and in the world, you know, one person or two people and the church should be the example of what is taking place right here. And if we were doing exactly what is taking place right here as we read it and we can see it, and we don't have to guess about it, but it tells us the truth. Man, just think, this whole world would be completely changed to the likeness of Christ. And that is our responsibility, and we need to take it very seriously, our part in the Great Commission. Now, in Acts chapter 20, verse 20, which we already read a week ago, we saw how the Apostle Paul stated, I taught you publicly from house to house. So not only was the Apostle Paul in the temple, you know, I tell you what, would you like to spend, be incarcerated with the Apostle Paul? He would just talk your ears off, wouldn't he? He would. So he taught in the temple, and he went, he said, I went to house to house. And in addition to discipleship in the temple, the people of the early church, New Testament church, also met in another's home of teaching, and the Lord added to the church daily. See, that's what happens when we get on board with the Lord. You know, we get on board where he is. We go where he is working. And things happen. You know, things happen when the Lord, when we welcome the Lord into our lives and when we welcome him into our church, our sanctuary, his spirit, he takes over and things happen. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16:19, we read, Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house. So, you know, when they went out of the temple, I mean, they said, hey, we're not done. Let's keep praising and worshiping the Lord. So, you know, they couldn't all just stay in the temple all the time. So they went to their homes and houses, and people went together, and they continued praising the Lord. And that's how they were adding to the church daily, because they didn't stop just because he was being taught the gospel in the temple and the church. And as our church today, our building, we're the people. But they went home to home and continuing, and they were breaking bread and having fellowship. And everything was in common. And you see, if we had that kind of movement and continued moving in that direction today, great things would happen. So meeting in home is commonly done one day as an extension of a already established local church through home Bible study groups, which are called life groups. That is a term used today with people who meeting in groups and so forth in homes or wherever they meet. A lot of businesses I've heard, I've talked to people that have a time where they can just meet in a room and they can have a Bible study. I don't know how many people I've talked about that work in a place where they allow this to happen. And they have a Bible study momentarily. It might be on their lunch break, or it might be just a break time. But things like this are happening, and you see, that's how God works, and that's how God moves when we do things that way. These groups are not meant to replace established churches, but rather supplement the fellowship and the discipleship, an ongoing process that God has provided for us through the Great Commission. Now, let's move on to the second part. Not only from Acts chapter 2, but here we see Jesus is speaking himself. The disciples taught in the homes. So now, let's look at verses 5 through 7, where Jesus himself is speaking, and he says, "Whatever house you enter," Jesus is speaking here, "first say, 'Peace be to this house.'" Now, when they went to the house, they were open to receive believers, Christians, the gospel at that time. And Jesus said, you know what? Bless them and say to them, "Peace be to this house," because you're allowing Jesus Christ and the gospel to enter your home. Oh, can you imagine? Imagine how that felt for the disciples and all those who were meeting in that way. When Jesus' disciples traveled around sharing the message of the kingdom, they were supposed to stay in the homes of the local places at that time. And as they entered the homes, Jesus said, "Your peace will rest upon you. Your peace will rest upon you." Now, and that's in verse 6. And he was saying that they should stay in these homes, sharing the gospel and teaching the scriptures. And when Jesus said, "Do not go from house to house," that means don't leave too quick. Stay. As you're invited, stay with those people until it is completed, until the reception and everything that needs to be accomplished in their lives, you stay. And that's what Jesus means. Just don't go in and leave, but let them hear the full gospel, the full message. Allow the Holy Spirit to have time to change their lives. And that's why Jesus says, stay there. Stay there. Do not just go to house, but they did go to the house, but they had to stay. He meant they needed to stay put. Stay there in that house. You're welcome in that house. And, you know, it's different than somebody. "No, we don't want you here." And when they wasn't welcome, and Apostle Paul experienced this in a few situations that we read in the Corinthians and so forth. And when he left, he dusted he knocked the dust off his feet because there was a sign that he wasn't welcome. But Jesus said, stay put until their time was completed before they moved on to another house. So looking at this and thinking about what the scriptures, how they're speaking to us, the disciples could only stay and teach in the home if they encountered. And this is what Jesus was saying right here, the Son of Peace. And that's in verse 6, the Son of Peace. And I want to tell you what that is. The Son of Peace is a welcoming individuals who receptive to Christ's evangelism or the teachings of those who come into the home to teach the Gospels. See, they will open their homes to the teaching of the gospel. And they will be the key people in meeting other prospects. And you see, it's just like a ripple. You share it, and it goes on to another person, another person. And because when the Holy Spirit touches your life, you're changed. You're not the same. And that's what was happening here in these people's lives. I was involved in church planting for many, many years, from 1999 to 2016 or 17, until they made a few changes and so forth. And we was meeting with Hispanics and other groups that have come to America, and they wanted to have their own church and so forth. So on through those years, the committee that I was on, we met with many, many different cultures and started churches in Annapolis and Louisville and Indiana and all around. And many of those are still going strong and growing. And church planting concept is that once you become familiar with the Son of Peace, and that was one of the things that we taught according to the scriptures, because it will take place. When you do it according to scripture, it happens. God will utilize every effort that you put forth in His name when we use the Great Commission the way Jesus expected us to do it. So the Son of Peace, you can then have them introduce you to their friends or their friends, and after you become acquainted with their friends, you soon begin growing relationships. And we saw that take place, and we would go back and revisit and talk to the church leaders and these pastors. And many of those we helped train to lead new church planting and so forth. And it was a great experience for me to be a part of that. And before Brenda and I even came to Indiana, we went through a new church planting process. We both were approved to do that. And we both had different gifts that would implement what we would be doing. And then when I got here, then that took place. I got to be a part of that. Now, how God leads, it's wonderful how God leads in that process and how I got to do that for many, many years. And the main purpose of discipleship is to build fellowship. Discipleship builds relationships, and it's a fellowship with one another. So in conclusion this morning, we've learned a lot about where and how we should be teaching people. Here, and in homes, in the places we go, we are God's spokesman. We are His ambassadors, and wherever we go, we can teach the gospel. We can share the gospel. As you learn and memorize scriptures, there's a time that God will allow you to share your experience you had with the Lord and share it with others who need to hear it. And you know, sometimes you just got to go out of your comfort zone, right? You ever had to do that? Many times, I know I have. And you know, after I did that, I said, well, that wasn't so bad. That wasn't bad because God gave you the words to speak. And that's what the scripture says. And He told the disciples, He said, I'm sending you out. Now, I'm not sending you with anything. I will provide everything you need to know when you go. And as you go, I will provide everything. I will speak to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Everything will be provided for you physically and spiritually. And He did, because when they went into the homes, they were received the Son of Peace. And as Jesus described, they was welcome. The people fed them. They even stayed overnight, and then the next morning they went on their way to the next place that God had appointed. You see, when you rely upon the Lord, He'll take you to the destination of the next place you need to go, or whatever the situation is. So in addition to the teaching in the temple, there were discipleship going on in the homes. Jesus' own disciples and believers in the New Testament church taught from house to house. And we're going back to Acts chapter 2, and as Jesus was telling them here in Luke chapter 10, as you go, present the Son of Peace. The thing to remember is that the purpose of Bible studies and church-based gathering is to promote fellowship and accountability within the body of Christ. That's what we want to do. That's our goal, is to promote fellowship. And we are accountable to one another. We're accountable to the Lord. And there's nothing greater to being accountable to the Lord and being in His will as we do this. And that's when we'll be blessed, because we are the body of Christ. So we must not forget the main purpose of discipleship is to help people grow in the relationship with God and become more Christ-like in all of their choices and all of their actions. See, we are to be like Christ. We can be like Christ. We can have the mind of Christ. And discipleship is all about making disciples and developing people into fully committed followers of Christ. And you've seen that happen, aren't you? We're seeing that happen. And we're going to see a great movement in our nation. And this hadn't just started last week or a week ago, but this has started months ago. But now the highlights of things that we're experiencing is really multiplying into something great. Now, the first step to becoming a follower of Christ is to ask forgiveness of our sins and confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And a verse I like to use, and oftentimes when I'm witnessing to people that do not know Christ, and after I talk to them for 10, 15, 30 minutes, sometimes 2 hours. You know, sometimes I'll take a half a day or whatever it takes. But I ask them, and I tell them, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved or shall be saved. It's as simple as that. And I've had people say, that's really simple. I said, yeah, from the heart. It has to come from the heart. And that's what discipleship is. I mean, you're teaching discipleship. When you're teaching others the Word of God, and when you're sharing, you're discipling. You're making disciples. And especially when they receive Christ as their personal Savior, they become a disciple. And then guess what? They become disciples of the Lord as well. Nothing better. Let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for this couple of Sundays of series about the purpose of discipleship. And Lord, it's a command, and you commanded it. And Lord, not only did you command it, but you fulfilled it. When you came into this world and you died for our sins, and then you set aside disciples and you sent them on their way. And today we are your disciples, and we are to be sent on that journey as well. And we don't need to just think about it. We don't even have to pray about it. We just need to do it and get on board with you. And Lord, we know that your Holy Spirit is always at work. You're working right now in each one of our lives in a different way. You speak to us differently because we have different needs and we're at a different place in our life. And when we enter into this sanctuary, the Holy Spirit takes control. And all we do is listen, be still, and know that you are God. And know that you want to move in each one of our lives individually and then as a church, as a whole. Then, Lord, great things happen. So however you're speaking this morning, Lord, I pray that we will listen intently. We have to intentionally listen and intentionally apply our lives to and use the gifts you have given us to reach out, touch people's lives, and lead them to you. And I pray each one, and every one of us will make that commitment right now to you, that we're going to make it our purpose, intentional, to be a disciple for you. Because we are your children. We praise you and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.